this morning is from John, the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now before we begin, does everyone have one of these? Raise your hand if you need one, okay? All right, an usher can get one to you. This is for participation in the sermon today, so just hold on to that. As it is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, today I want to talk about someone who influenced our faith greatly, Martin Luther. He was a German theologian and professor, composer of music, some of which we heard this morning, a Catholic priest, a monk, and a key figure in the Protestant Reformation. In his work and in his faith journey, Luther came to reject several of the teachings and practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, many claim that Luther did not intend to break off from the church, but instead intended to reform it. So we could possibly have been Catholic at this point, but the Holy Spirit moved us in different directions. Martin Luther had strong views on a lot of different things, and he became one of the first reformers with many reformers to follow him, who have shaped the faith that we have today. Martin Luther, of course, was famous for nailing his 95 theses to the front door in Wittenberg, Germany. Some dispute if that actually happened, but, you know, it's a really nice, fun idea that our faith came from this expression of ideas. These 95 statements brought to light for Luther things that he asserted were way overdue for an overhaul. Luther disputed the practice of the church selling indulgences as a way to assure a heavenly respite for one's loved one following death. He also split from the church in his theology that the grace of God was ultimately free and that God saves all of humanity through Christ rather than in response to the good works that we do. Martin Luther must not have had many hobbies outside of his academic world and the life of the church because he penned several well-named hymns and translated the entire Bible into German, with the help, of course, of his trusty sidekick, Philip Melanchthon. One of Luther's key assertions is that all baptized Christians are called into the ministry, and he called that the priesthood of all believers. No longer would the priesthood be just for those who are professionals, such as priests and pastors and monks and nuns, but we all have been called by God into a holy vocation. And so today, in light of that, and to just demonstrate this priesthood of all believers, you are going to help me with the sermon. I don't know if you prepared, but here we go. This is the way it's going to work. I will read a quote, and then I will ask, was this from Martin Luther or not Martin Luther? And you hold up whichever one you think is right. Here's the first one for an example. "The first thing I ask is that people should not make use of my name and should not call themselves Lutherans, but Christians. What is Luther? The teaching is not mine, nor was I crucified for anyone. How did I, poor stinking bag of maggots that I am, come to the point where people call the children of Christ by my evil name?" That was Luther. Can you believe it? He said a lot of things I can't say in church. That's true. That's true. Okay, so we're going to keep going in this way. I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. I did nothing. The word did it all. Luther or not Luther? That was Luther. You got it. I've never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy as cause for withdrawing from a friend. Luther or not Martin Luther? We're almost unanimous. Not Martin Luther. That was Thomas Jefferson. Ours is a God who surprises us by love of differences and draws us to new capacities to imagine their reconciliation. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. That was Willie James Jennings, an African-American theologian and Baptist minister. God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but also on the trees and in the flowers and the clouds and the stars. Luther or not Luther? Luther. Okay, here's another one. Where there is discord, may we bring harmony. Where there is error, may we bring truth. Where there is doubt, may we bring faith. And where there is despair, may we bring hope. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. Sounds like him, though, right? Yep. Who was it? No, not St. Francis. Margaret Thatcher. Former Prime Minister of the UK. Okay, here's another one. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. This is from a woman named Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, saved many Nazis, many Jews, that is, from the Nazis during World War II. Many Jews. Okay, here's another. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, against the world rulers of this darkness. Let us then stand firm and heed the trumpet of the Lord. Satan is fighting, not against us, but against Christ in us. We fight the battles of the Lord. Be strong, therefore. If God is for us, who can be against us? Luther or not Luther? Luther. Okay. See, I told you you wouldn't fall asleep today. Okay, here we go. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. That was from the Apostle Paul, from Hebrews chapter 4. Here's another one. There are two kinds of people, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says, "All right then, have it your way." Luther or not Luther? Yeah, I think we're unanimous on this one. That was C.S. Lewis, who wrote a lot of different books, including the Chronicles of Narnia. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Luther or not Luther? Yep, that's Luther. Here's my favorite. If a preacher is not first preaching to themselves, better that they fall on the steps of the pulpit and break their neck than preach that sermon. It sounds like Luther, but it's not. That one is from John Calvin. John Calvin was the reformer who came after Martin Luther. Here's another one. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. That was Martin Luther King, Jr. Faith cannot be inherited or gained by being baptized into a church. Faith is a matter between the individual and God. Luther or not Luther? That's Luther. Are you learning a lot? I am. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. But it was by a good Lutheran, Soren Kierkegaard. And lastly, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. Luther or not Luther? That's not Luther, but it sounds like him. A lot of these do, right? Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now, to all of you teenagers in here, or young people, middle school, elementary school, you're going to like this one. One of the things that I can't do a lot of speaking about Luther here at the pulpit is about how he has a lot of gross things that he talks about. I'll give you just one example. Almost every night when I wake up, the devil is there and wants me to dispute with me. I instantly chase him away with a fart. That was Luther. And here's my last one. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Luther or not Luther? Not Luther. That's from Paul, from Ephesians chapter 2. But that is the verse that Martin Luther talked about a lot, right? He wrote about this a lot. In asserting that we are saved by faith alone, Luther has made more accessible to us God's grace and forgiveness, has made more accessible to us the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Supper. Luther has provided all Christians with the knowledge that we are equal in our vocation, that no one stands above any other in our vocation to love and serve others, to preach the Word of God, and to be one another, be Christ for one another in this world. In her book, The Great Emergence, How Christianity is Changing and Why, Phyllis Tickle wrote this: about every 500 years, the church feels compelled to hold a giant rummage sale. A giant rummage sale? That means a reformation. And today is the 500th anniversary of that reformation. Now, in the past, the church has done some repenting for ways in which this church has harmed others. The church has much to repent still. Antisemitism toward our Jewish friends, the poor treatment of lack and welcome of our gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender friends, for racism, for its treatment of women, and for using religion to incite violence or war. So it's about time for a rummage sale. We are a church that is reformed and keeps on reforming, and that is through the work of the Holy Spirit. So what goes on the chopping block this time? What must be removed, revised, pruned back, or destroyed even for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What needs to be added? That is a question our dear friend Martin Luther would most certainly approve of. And as he liked to say, this is most certainly true. Say it with me. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God.